God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
The God of the universe created the world. He didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke. He said, let there be light. And because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world, mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to Disciples View. I was probably 15 years old and made a stupid decision. Really dumb. I was raised around guns my entire life. And so I knew that they were dangerous tools. I knew all the rules of handling guns. I know that all guns are loaded, that you always assume all guns are loaded until you confirm otherwise. You never point a weapon at anything you do not intend to kill. So I knew all the rules, and then I made a stupid decision because teenage boys can do utterly stupid things. And I shot a pistol in the basement. Stupid idea. And it hit a pipe. The bullet ricocheted. Thank God it didn't hit me. No one else was in the house. It hit a water pipe. And so I shut the water off and ran around trying to figure out what to do. I wasn't a guy who had a lot of, and I still don't, building skills. I knew it could be soldered, but then I thought, wait a minute. I don't know if that's drinking water or where that goes. So being a stupid kid, I started thinking, okay, I got to track this down because I don't know that you can solder drinking water. That could poison people. Meanwhile, I know my mom's coming home. I know I've made this unbelievably stupid decision. I've been safely shooting guns since I was 5. And what in the world got into me to think, oh, I'll just set up a target over here and just one time. And yep, that one time. So as I'm thinking through this, I think, I need to call a friend who knows these things, who could come and solder this. And so a friend of mine that we used to make fun of for being, and this is a slur, a redneck. And it's a slur. It is. I joke sometimes that I've been genetically tested. I'm 79.7% redneck. Drives my family crazy when I say that. Wayne came over. And Wayne looked at the pipe and said, this is not a water pipe. I can solder it. I don't know how long the soldering will last. It'd be better if I cut a section out of it, replaced it. How long will that take? Well, I don't know. It depends on if we can go find copper that will fit. So we went out and lucky enough found, I don't even know if it was copper. I just remember he bought something to go on the pipe to seal it more permanently. And he got that done, and I thanked him, and I gave him some money, which he didn't want, and I gave it to him anyway. And my mom came home, and you know what? That's the first time I've ever spoken about it publicly. You've heard me confess a thing I've never confessed because it was so utterly brain dead. Why am I telling you this? I'm thinking of God. And I'm thinking of God in heaven, who probably doesn't have the need to go around saying, I told you so. Because he is truth, he is light, he is mercy. He is all of the above. And I told you so could serve him in no way. He is fully aware that he's always existed, always will exist. That he transcends any form of our understanding. Certainly we can read his word, we can pray, spend time around his people, learn to know him, learn to know his voice, allow the Holy Spirit to change us so we become more like him. But saying, I told you so to us would be the equivalent of us telling, I don't know, a mouse, told you that's a trap. And yet he loves us far beyond we could love a mouse. He loves us fully and completely without reservation. So I'm thinking of the thousands, millions of pipes that we, in our arrogance, have shot up. And I'm thinking of this election. Now, we can't think like God. We can consult his word. We can spend time around his people. We can ask for the wisdom of God. We can try to be spirit-led. But I'm just imagining, like, my mom. If my mom had seen me doing that in her basement, stop! What are you doing? What? Oh, I set up a target over there with a mattress, and I was going to shoot from here and just once. And no, idiot! But she wouldn't have said that. She never called names. No, that's unsafe. Why'd you even consider that? And I'm just thinking of God. Just watching. And I told you so is not it. Let's think of this another way. Let's think of God saying, wait, but I'm right here. It's in Chicago now where Venezuelan gangs have taken over apartment building. No, I just found the 911 call. In fact, I just recorded it into a podcast. I didn't have time to grab it for this program. In fact, everything you're hearing is completely off script. Randy, who keeps things running in the back end, is a brilliant guy. He's probably going, oh, once again, okay, thanks, sir. Thanks, Todd. Going to go completely off script. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking of God looking here saying, wait, I'm right here. You know the woman over there who is completely fake, utterly bereft of anything to do with my word, has absolutely no sign whatever of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. Wait, I'm right here. Why are your eyes on her? Why are you focused on her? I'm right here. Likewise, with Donald John Trump, we don't advise people, we don't tell people how to vote on this network. Number one, we're not allowed to. Number two, we don't. You know where I'm at. I'm a Christian, constitutionalist, conservative populist. To me, there is no debate. Sadly, we're a two-party system. So likewise, I'm just thinking of God saying, wait, so he's your hope? I mean, I called a friend, Wayne, who had a specific set of skills, but let's move past a situation like that. There's a metaphor I've used before. It's called the log. It's based in real life. It's the log metaphor. This is based in real life happenings. When people are in a surprise, it's surprised to fall into water. And in this specific case, it was a group of rafters who were in way, way, way over their head. They went from what they thought were class 3 rapids and suddenly they're in class 5 rapids. They did not have the technical skill to guide themselves through this river. It was going to happen that they capsized, and they did. Some people sadly drowned. Some people washed up to shore, and about 5 people got stuck out grasping a log. And they're in the middle of this river. And time is running out. Here's the factors. Eventually, your grip is going to fail. Probably start in your core and then work its way out. And at that point, you can't grip anything. There's the cold. Like I cold soak in 28 to 30 degree water at 7 degree days for 10 minutes. And I'm here to tell you, though I'm practiced at that, it's still cold. I just went swimming in a river in Washington State. It's cold. Your grip will fail you. Hypothermia will set in. These are the factors. But people have their log. They're stuck on that log. Rescuers came pretty quickly. People who knew what they were doing in this part of the country, this isn't uncommon. So they had rangers there, they had firefighters there. And the firefighters and rangers set up a big net down below the log. They put a helicopter up above and were lowering baskets to get people in, and there was the safety nets, and there were guys coming down to help people out of the water. One man would not let go of the log. The log will save me. The log is solid. I can touch it. It's right here. I'm aware of the firefighters. I'm aware of the rangers. I can see them. They're waving at me, but I am not going to let go of this log because the log is keeping me alive. Well, eventually, his body let go. And he either passed out, the grip failed, or both. And praise God, rescuers leapt into action and got him into the nets. They pulled him from the water and they revived him. How many of us are looking at this election as our log? Log will save us. If only Donald John Trump is put into the presidency, then we're saved. Now, that's probably oversimplifying. The AFR audience is among the most educated politically, and certainly from a biblical perspective, in terms of a network of radio listeners, radio family, it doesn't get more educated. The percentage of pastors who listen to this program, and bishops and leaders in their churches, and church planters and teachers of the word, not to mention just you and I, very high. But please, be honest with me. Are you looking at the election as the log that will save us? I'm thinking again of God saying, but wait, I'm right here. I'm not a log in the water. I am the rock. I am that thing that when you get to the shore, you're saved. When you're splashing out of the water, you're in the log, you're going to drown, unless you're rescued. You're in the water splashing and you get to the sand, you're kind of safe. But your feet are still in the water. You crawl breathlessly, your muscles worn out. You now are on a rock. You are saved. And there's God saying, I am the rock. And the country being put through the purposeful cultural revolution, which is what's going on, you are living through a fascist revolution. That's not hand-waving, it's not exaggeration. Kamala Harris seized power from Joe Biden. Well, actually, people seized it for her. She's simply the new figurehead. You're living through a fascist revolution. Kamala Harris received zero votes. She is not the Democrat nominee. She's been placed there. That's the seizing of power. You're living through it. It's not a stream. It's not a river. It's not rapids. But mentally, aren't we treating it that way? Oh, we're being washed away. Yeah, you know what? Our political system is, in fact, kind of being washed away. And it's in this where when you stand on the rock, now you're on the side of the river looking in going, wow, we're up here. Guys, we're up here with the rock. We win. We're safe. That water down there, that's all temporary. You are temporarily in that water. Please understand that water is not your home. The rapids are not your home. Your home is up here on the rock. Let us give you a hand. What is the hand? I was in the water once too. And the Lord saved me. Let me reach down. But you have to accept something. You have to accept redemption. You have to admit that you can't pull yourself out of the river. And that log is not going to save you. You have to admit the log's not going to save me. Take my hand. Because it's not my hand. It's the hand of the Lord through me. My hand's not strong enough. But with him, I can pull you out of the water. And there's God in the background saying, come and stand on me. I am the rock. I'm the rock. I'm the warmth. I'm the sun. I will dry you out. I will hold you forever. You will stand in victory. But yeah, that election. Please don't go my way. Please don't make the election the priority. Please stay where you're at with God the priority. There's some interesting, infuriating, and if we'll allow it to be ironically entertaining happenings in the culture wars we'll talk about as we continue. I'm Todd Herman. This is A Disciple's View. Appreciate you listening to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. Okay, we need to be really careful, or I do, with this segment. I want to be respectful, but I want to be complete and just give you an image of what's going on. But I need to be really, really careful here. It has to do with the lies of transgender ideology, but we're going to work our way up to it. And the lies are, it's watching the reality of what transgender ideology is, confronting people who live by that ideology. It's men who pretend to be women, or maybe even are convinced that they are women, because that does happen to people. Satan can do that. Mental illness can do that. Mental illness and Satan together can do that. They have been confronted with women who are pretending to be men pretending to be women. And the collision of lies is leading to a core truth that there is nothing in transgenderism that is based on any form of truth other than this. People do get confused. That's the only truth in this. And they don't even pretend it's, they won't even admit it's confusion. So we're going to work up to that. We're going to work up to it by going back into the political world for a second. And I'm jumping around a bit here. I'm giving a signal to Randy behind the scenes because it's important that you understand that how we're going to make this flow. In the last segment, we talked about not counting on the election to save us. It's not going to. The rock of God has saved us. But let's look at the world through this socio-political lens. Kamala Harris was speaking with Reverend Al Sharpton, who, as you know, is a reverend. Very revered. Very Christ-like. Not. And Kamala Harris promised the heretical so-called Reverend Al Sharpton she will force people who never held slaves to give money to people who never were slaves.
In the area of reparations for descendants of Africans and slaves.
If you elected president, would you sign that bill if it came across your desk?
When I am elected president, I will sign that bill.
So joyful. She's really a joyful person. So let's track this down. No one in my family, in my ancestors, held slaves. Ever. So we're going to have to pay money to people who never were slaves, ever. But rest assured, Washington, D.C. will take a commission on every dollar forced out of our hands. But it's godly. Well, I know this because Kamala Harris, the foundation of her life is her faith. I mean, there's evangelicals for Harris, with even some Republicans in there. There is a, what is it, Billy Graham's granddaughter's in there. Because Kamala Harris is not Donald Trump. She will save. No, she won't. God saves. So that's Kamala Harris. And is she, does she mean this? Sure. Just like she means she won't do it. Those two positions are utterly interchangeable for a woman whose moral foundation is water. Here's a container shaped like reparations. Will you pour yourself into that container? Sure. Here's a container shaped like no reparations. Will you pour yourself into that? Sure. Just tell me what's going to get me power. So Evangelicals for Harris is a group of people who have abandoned the rock of God's word for the wind, the breeze, or even the hurricane, if you like, of politics. They're gripping it, grasping it, trusting it, the wind. Latasha Morrison is using the story of Stephen to argue for reparations.
We also see in scripture where a lot of people miss, where those that were in power gave power to those that were marginalized. Ooh. And so we see that in
what would be an example of that?
We see that with Stephen. You know, we see that with Stephen. Stephen was a part of the Greek speaking based off of his name. And so he became a leader and responsible for the distribution of food. And so I think that's something that we have to see, that there was an adjustment made. And and scripture goes on to say in that, and the word of God spread.
So her contention in the full presentation is that Stephen being allowed more responsibility in the church as he grew in faith, as he matured as a Christian, is a redistribution of power and money, just like reparations. It's exactly the same thing. And what we need to do is appoint people to leadership positions, not because of their race, because of the pigment of their skin. Race means something. I mean, it's a human construct to a degree. It means background, culture, language, art, family structure, rhetorical constructs, scientific beliefs and methods, healthcare delivery systems, songs, myths. Means a lot. But they don't mean race. They mean pigment and politics. We need people with dark skin who want power over their fellow man and are willing to be like Kamala Harris, whose morality is the constitution of water and will be poured into any container that it needs to go into. And yet these people are thought of as teachers of the word. Evangelicals for Harris, as an example. A so-called pastor, and I've tried to track down the name and I've failed, I'm trying. But a so-called pastor says Ruth and Naomi were in a sexual relationship and Boaz was a sperm donor.
When you read the vows and the covenants that they made with each other, they are vows that we still use today in marriage ceremonies. She said, wherever you go, I will go. Your God will be my God. There are even references, and I don't have time to do this. We don't do this in this teaching. We have a teaching where we do break down these scriptures. But there are references that demonstrate that they had a sexual relationship. I'll even take it further. For all of y'all that's talking about some Ruth and Boaz are the examples of for single women. Ruth got Boaz drunk. Ruth got Boaz drunk, had sex with him for the sake of having a baby. And in the text, it does not say Ruth and Boaz's baby. It says Naomi's baby. Boaz was a sperm donor.
Well, that's really funny. And people laughing uncomfortably as the Bible is rewritten in live time by a pastor. See, we're setting a scene for this. God is the rock. These guys are the wind. And God's letting them blow around. And we can try to grip that wind. And this is what progressives are doing. Let's hold on to the wind, the ever-changing wind. This will save us, the wind. Progressive Christianity. Let's have Christianity that changes. Because wind is very predictable and safe. Progressive Christianity is wind. Christianity based on the Bible and God's word is a rock, a solid foundation that cannot move. Kamala Harris is the perfect non-person for a time like this. Yes, she's a human. Yes, God loves her, but there is nothing in her that has any connection to a solid truth or a solid set of morals, utterly fudgeable, changeable. So it is with leftism. Believe all women. When a woman makes a charge of sexual abuse, she is to be believed no matter what. Brett Kavanaugh was part of a rape gang. How do we know this? Because one woman says so, but she can't remember the date of when it happened. No one else ever saw Kavanaugh there, but you need to believe her. What about when women say, woman is not a costume. Have you ever heard this phrase? Woman is not a costume. When transgender ideology was being pushed in the experiment states, like the separate country of Washington state, when it was being pushed there, it was being pushed upon society in the background through non-governmental organizations and then through human rights commissions within governments, bureaucrats. It was conned into being and pushed through by medical technocrats and pharma. All behind the scenes, they built the infrastructure first. They started transing kids behind the scenes. They blocked the media from talking about it. I know because I worked in media. I know these stories were blocked. I can tell you, sit down one-on-one with me. I'll tell you the names of the investigative reporters who told me, Todd, these are incredible stories. They're heartbreaking. The newsroom will not let us cover them. They built that infrastructure. They pressured and threatened media companies to not cover it. And then once it came out that it was happening, they first came with, well, this only happens in a small number of instances. And now they've come out and said, this is the best thing that could ever happen to kids. Here's transgenderism. You are whatever you say you are. You have whatever medical condition you say you have. And you should be afforded the care for that. You should be able to walk into a cancer clinic and say, hi, how are you? I'm Todd Herman. I have a tumor in my frontal lobe. It's right here. It's almost now a third of a centimeter. And it's growing by a third of a centimeter every week. I need you to cut my head open and take it out. And they might look at you and say, huh, well, we would need to do a CAT scan and an MRI and maybe a biopsy. How dare you? You can't tell if I have cancer by looking at me. I'm telling you I have it. That is enough. Same thing. You can't tell if I'm female because I have female parts or because my genes are female. You can't tell. You can't tell that a baby is a boy because he's born with a penis. What are you doing? Same thing. So here's the part where I need to be careful out of respect for you and this network and God Almighty. Some young women I take to be probably in their mid-20s, sadly have decided to make money online by engaging in, I'm hoping it's non-sexual porn. I haven't watched it. I'm obviously not going to watch it. But they took some pictures of themselves pretending to be coquettish schoolgirls, again, probably in their mid-20s. They're wearing little girls' underwear. I'm going to be very careful here, as respectful as I can, but you need to know. And on their TikToks or their tweets, it's Twitter, they wrote, just two boys being silly. So I have to be so careful here. They decided to do something to pretend to be male. That's as far as I'll go on this network. Okay? They decided to do that, to do something to pretend to be male. The comments that follow are these, and they're from men who pretend to be women, or maybe even men who have convinced themselves they're women, or maybe even men who didn't convince themselves they have become mentally ill and they truly, truly think this. Here's some of the comments. This is from Heidi the Birder. We know you're both fake. If you want to do not safe for work content, then sure do it. Blank, I do, but don't get in our space. A man who pretends to be a woman says to women who are pretending to be men, pretending to be women, say, don't get in our space. This is transgender ideology eating itself and finding there's no meal there. These young women have every right to say, oh, we're boys. By their own construct, Aria the Dom, this is harmful as blank to trans people to bait like this. You'll have to stop at some point. Why? Can you see the crazy meeting the ironic and the crazy going, wait a minute, you can't do that. You can't pretend to be boys pretending to be girls. We get to pretend to be girls and women. That's our domain. Why? Well, because those are the rules. Here's the one that really gets me. This is from Kiana, a man pretending to be a woman, using the phrase cis, which means nothing. Seeing cis girls pretending to be trans for money makes me so annoyed. My gender isn't your costume. But woman is a costume? Praise God that the transgender ideologists have been confronted with their own rule set. You have no leg to stand on to tell those young women they don't get to pretend to be boys pretending to be girls. God will use everything for his glory, including tearing apart the utter lies of transgenderism. We'll come back with the Tower of Babbling. I'm Todd Herman. This is our Disciples View. Appreciate you listening to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. It's one of those days where it just went completely off plan. And sometimes the Holy Spirit speaks into that. Sometimes I sit down at the microphone and I feel like God says, yeah, cool plan, dude. I need you to talk about some other things. So we've been doing that. That's why the program's gone the way it has. There are some things I do want to touch on because I think they're important for you to know. My human wisdom would tell me it's kind of important for you to know. Number one is this, just a note on election security and integrity. The Social Security Administration tracks the number of voters who have registered in states without ID. Wall Street Apes on Twitter tracked this down and pulled out some slides from government data. This comes from the U.S. Social Security Administration website, HAVV 2024 database. Texas, Pennsylvania, Arizona, Georgia, South Carolina, Nevada, Missouri, states where people are registered to vote without IDs. So how many people? In Texas, it appears to be about 3.25 million. In Pennsylvania, it appears to be about 1.6 million. Missouri, 1.7 million. In Arizona, it appears to be at 1.3 million. Well, those are small numbers. Wait, those are pretty large numbers. And if they're properly distributed through specific congressional districts, you could shift elections. But don't worry, they'll be checked. I was going to say they'd check ID. But wait, hold it. We have forced mail-in ballots in many of those states. Well, they'll do signature verification. Nope, they don't. They do that to maybe 1% of the ballots. Well, at least they'll make sure that the people who get these ballots are the people who are supposed to get them, even though they don't have ID. How would they do that since they don't have ID? The election system in the United States is set up to welcome fraud to anyone who wants to go take advantage of it. The magic is this, and this is magic. It's set up in such a way that we can never go track fraud down because you don't have the very basis you'd need to track fraud down, ID. You can't claim someone isn't who they say they are when you don't require ID. It's brilliant. But elections will save us. God saves. Only God saves. Permanently, only God saves. One of the things to catch up on, President Trump had said in an interview that he intended to vote for Amendment 4 in Florida, which by some estimations would enshrine abortion, even late-term abortion, into state law in the Constitution. President Trump has now clarified that. He's not going to vote for that. He's clarified that he finds it too extreme. Thank goodness for that. On this program, we do something here that's odd, given the amount of time we spend concerned about people in power, just recognizing that God put them there. So we thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand with our feature called The Tower of Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
Who doesn't love a yellow school bus?
Trans women are women, trans men are men, and non-binary people are non-binary.
If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money.
The Tower of Babbling.
Three soundbites in today's Tower of Babbling. Here's Tim Walz, this time pretending he was in Afghanistan.
When I talk to my constituents in southern Minnesota, and I don't care if they're Republican, Independent, Democrat, it doesn't matter to them. When I tell them, when I was in Afghanistan, you know what our troops were worried about? They were worried about their families' health care, and they were worried about their pensions. I said, do you think that's really what you want them to be worrying about? When their friends and colleagues are being shot on a daily basis, and yet at the end of the day, they have to worry about that.
He was not in Afghanistan. And it's not grammar. He said, his wife says he uses bad grammar, which is explaining why he lies about the rank he achieved in the military. Just a reminder, that's a guy who went to communist China to teach English. And no, it's not bad grammar to pretend you achieved a rank you didn't pretend. You didn't achieve, rather. Everybody knows the rank at which they retired. Tim Walz is in one way, more admirable than Kamala Harris. He has always been mindlessly radical and self-serving, always been a leftist, always been willing to teach kids poisonous ideals. He doesn't pour easily into any container. He fits well into leftism. Kamala Harris can pour her morals into any container of any shape because it has the consistency of water. Second soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez tried to speak about the importance of voting, but without notes or a teleprompter, and it went exactly as one would imagine.
So what's the value of voting, Selma?
Listen, if you vote, you can vote for politicians, you can vote for elected officials that invest in the community, that want to make sure that you want the polls to win, you want folks to come in here, you want to make sure that you've got the streets clean, you've got things going on, you've got health care.
So you can vote for issues in people and you can have an effect and it's all very garbled. Isn't there a best way to do that? Yeah, it's your responsibility as a citizen. You can vote for people who match your values and affect the country in that regard. That would be easy. But then again, she's not known for easy. Last up in today's Tower Babbling. In the one-party vote fraud embracing state of California, Democrats in the state legislature limited debate on all bills to 30 seconds per bill. Republican Assemblyman Bill Esale banged on his table in an attempt to be heard. Limiting debate to 30 seconds obviously means no debate. So what is it they don't want to debate in California? Well, one of the things they've been trying to do, people who are sane and not yet completely fallen under the spell of Satan, is they want to continue to have it be a felony to sell a child's body for sex. That's been lowered. in the states to misdemeanors. Why? Well, because charging it as a felony more often affects black and brown girls. Why? Because black and brown girls are more commonly trafficked. By whom? Sadly, black and brown men. But that's not all. Charging it as a felony also disproportionately affects members of the sexual left. Let the listener understand. And that's a wrap for today's Tower Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
I don't have anything to share with all of you at this time. And I'll just leave it there.
On a Disciple's View.
How much time have you spent around people who are famous or have reason to consider themselves famous? There is a true way, I think, to mark people for who they are and how they developed and how they view others, and that is when they achieve a level of fame. It's interesting to me when I've had these opportunities to do this. Some of it's because of the job I have, but that's different. People come into my studio or my radio studio, they're on guard, they're on, as we say in the business. They're on, they're performing, they get it, they're gonna be in front of an audience. I once met Dr. Laura Schlesinger, and she came into our studios in Salt Lake City and did her program from there. And I was kind of surprised by some of the interactions. Some of them happened in private, and so I won't disclose it, but one of them really surprised me, actually. But she was a truth teller even then. I asked her about this relationship I was having with a girl I was dating, young woman, really, but I mean, we were both kids. And she said, well, the biggest problem is it's not godly. Okay. Yeah, she was right. And we were out in the lobby and she was signing autographs for people because women had come to visit with her and they wanted to give her flowers. And she turned to me, she said, I've reached the end of my patience. I need to leave. And I said, Lord, there's a bunch of people here. She goes, I'm done. I have to leave. Please, please take me out of here. So we said, hey, Dr. Laura has to leave. Thank you for coming. We're sorry we can't get everybody in. And I rode with her in the limo on the way back to her hotel. And she said to me, you're going to learn something as you advance in this business. You have to be able to protect yourself. She said, you saw me here. I've done this 5 days in a row. And what I know is my patience will wear thin. I will end up saying something I don't mean to a listener. I don't want that to happen. I'm sorry if I came across brusque, but you have to understand there's limits to what you can give. I thought that was really great explanation she gave me as someone who never reached her level of fame. And thank God I didn't. There's then the occasional jerk, utter jerk. And sometimes it's bad days. I won't say her name because I'm calling her a jerk, but she was on the program Beverly Hills 90210. And she was famous-infamous for this. She came onto an airplane I was on. We were flying from Newark to Seattle, and then I think she was headed to Los... No, take that back. Seattle to New York. She was going to New York. And she came onto the plane cursing at people, don't you know how to move a bag, and I can't believe this is taking this long, and pardon me, that behavior, and sat down next to me. And I realized who she was. And we got up in the air, and I guess probably 2 hours into that, they started to serve the meal. We were in first class. I was using Microsoft money. She was probably using her own. And during meals, people usually take their headphones out. No one likes to hear themselves chew. So the meal served, and I turned to her and said, I promise I won't bother you. I'm just always curious about the people with whom I fly. What do you do for a living? She said, B? Yeah. She goes, I'm an actress. Oh, wow. What a blessing. Broadway? And she smiles. She said, yes. As a matter of fact, I'm doing a play on Broadway. Oh, how fascinating. Well, good for you. And it started to eat again. She goes, as a matter of fact, I used to be in film and TV. Oh, gosh. Very few people get to earn a living like that. That's fascinating. Little silence. What do you do? Oh, I work at Microsoft. Oh, that's cool. We've done deals with Microsoft. And we talked a little bit. And As the meal was wrapping up, I said to her, now please hear the whole sentence. It means everything and nothing. She introduced herself to me, and I said, oh yes, of course I've known your name. I'm sorry. Of course, yes, I didn't realize. I said, can I just tell you something before we put our headphones back on? I'm not sure you have any idea of the full effect you have on people. She said, thank you. No, I meant earlier when you were raging. I didn't say that part. I was trying to be subtle. Now, to her defense, she actually offered me a ride in her limo. I said, no, we've got town cars at Microsoft. I couldn't do that. But here's the one that really, really got me. My friend Jill learned that Drew Bledsoe, the former NFL quarterback who took the New England Patriots to a Super Bowl before Tom Brady came in and swept the league away, he was going to be at the Whitworth College football camp. And he was teaching a session. And she said, you know Drew. I said, I went to football camp with Drew 1 year. She goes, but you know him. I said, well, yeah. I mean, I snapped the ball to him when we were at football camp, but he's an NFL superstar. Please come. You're the only way I have to get this done. So we drove out with a whole bunch of footballs for him to sign for this charity. And I drive up and I go walking up and my gosh, there's Drew standing by himself. You know what he did? He turned around and said, Todd! Wow, Drew, you remember me? He goes, yeah, I remember a lot of people who snap balls to me. I go, but it was 1 year. He goes, good to see you, man. What's going on with your family? I didn't have a family at the time. He had started one. I said, hey, you know, I'm not married yet. Here's what's going on. And what about you? And how do you like the NFL? And he looked, he goes, did you bring footballs? I go, Drew, I'm so sorry people do this to you. He goes, hey, it's my pleasure. A, it's good to see you. B, praise God that you're raising money for this charity. C, I'll sign the footballs, but you have to help me. He remembered me and he praised God. I don't think those things are coincidences. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Because we believe, we speak. Because He first loved us, we speak His Word to make disciples of all nations. Until God decides you and I can visit again together, may His peace, which transcends all understanding, rest upon you and your families. On behalf of Randy and AFR, I'm Todd Herman, and this has been A Disciple's View.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.